You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Locked On Grizzlies. I'm your host, Mark King. The Grizzlies played a game last night, albeit not very good at times, but we'll talk about that game. We'll talk about all the guys that played last night, our thoughts on different people, how they got better, maybe they got worse. A lot of different things happened in the game last night, so we'll talk about all that and more coming up on today's episode of Locked On Grizzlies this Tuesday. But first, make sure you go and subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies in whatever platform you choose, whether that's Spotify, Stitcher, or Apple iTunes. If you subscribe in Apple iTunes, go leave us a 5-star review in the iTunes store. It really helps us in the iTunes rankings. Leave us a review, rate this show. It would really help us out a lot. The Grizzlies, again, they played against the New Zealand Breakers last night, RJ Hampton in that game. By the way, real quick on RJ Hampton, did not look good at all. Just really didn't look great. He is a really small dude and just a guy that I didn't find impressive at all, honestly. Like, Ja Morant really shined in this game last night. I thought you might have some type of little bit of a battle there, but that was non-existent. And so that would be interesting to see what he does coming up in the future for sure. But the Grizzlies, you know, they were okay last night. They had a lot of missed opportunities. They had a lot of it was a different game than Sunday, that's for sure. They had a lot of confusion at times. They were great getting out in transition like they were on Sunday. And with a group of guys as young and as athletic as they have, especially in the starting unit with Brandon Clark. Obviously, Jonas Valanciunas did not play last night. So Brandon Clark got the start again in the 4 spot. So, you know, to have those type of guys out there and they're very athletic, they're easy. They get up and down the court super easy. They get up and down the court really well. Out in fast break transitions, outlet passes, all that stuff. The problem, and the problem with a lot of young teams, is the half-court sets. Once you slow them down and make them run a play, that is a different animal. And so the Grizzlies really, really struggled with the fact that when they had to slow the game down, they had to run plays, had to run different sets. That was the issue with the Grizzlies last night. I think that's probably what you'll see a lot of this year is when they have to run sets, when they have to run plays to get a basket in the half-court offense. That's what I think where they'll really, really struggle, and that's where they struggled last night, just getting the plays out, knowing what the plays should be. I mean, that's going to come with a rookie point guard, a lot of young guys together, a lot of new guys together. That's going to happen. And so we saw that last night. There was one point I think it was the end of the second, maybe end of the first, where it took them like 15 or 16 seconds just to get the play from Taylor Jenkins. I think it was at the end of the half, and Taylor Jenkins was yelling out a play, and the Grizzlies, Brandon Clark was on the, Brandon Clark was on the block low. I think, Jaren was on the other one. Maybe it was Bruno on the other one. I think it was Bruno on the other one, and Brandon Clark, Ja Morant was up top, and they literally kept going back and forth about what play to run, and then they actually ran a play. They finally got what they thought was supposed to be it, but Brandon Clark runs up to set a screen. I think it was supposed to be Bruno because he ran up and didn't really set it. Only kind of half set it because he realized that he was doing the wrong thing, and then the play just really went to shit. And so he had Ja Morant, who actually ended up almost making something out of nothing because he had a beautiful pass to the corner. I remember who was in the corner, but had a beautiful pass to the corner, and whoever was over there missed the shot. So, like, even after all that, Ja Morant still almost bailed him out in that whole sequence of things. So it really is just kind of like a caveat for the game and the Grizzlies, the young Grizzlies team, is that one play that they were so confused about what they were supposed to do, and they actually figured out what they thought they were supposed to do. They end up doing the wrong thing again, and then Ja Morant ends up almost bailing them out anyway. And so I think you'll see a lot of that in the upcoming season, just because, again, it's hard. It's a lot of new guys. I mean, it's a lot of young guys, and so they're learning those things on the fly, especially this is a second preseason game. So it will get better with time. It will get better with this, the season goes along, but it still won't be, it won't be great because it's just something that will happen. It's just something that happens throughout the season. They had 21 turnovers last night to 22 assists. That was not great at all. And that just kind of gives you an idea and a window to what they did. I mean, they tried a lot of things. They tried a lot of things that didn't work. And that's cool. That's what this preseason is for. I asked Taylor Jenkins about the turnovers after the game. He told me that he didn't want to be a turnover guy. So he's not the guy that's like, if you make a turnover, it's going to be, you know, he's pulling you out. He's going to be mad. So that's good to hear because Ja Morant's going to probably do quite a bit of those this season. And so will the other young guys. So he's not a turnover guy, he says, but he wants them to understand that because he doesn't want them to not push the ball. Once you become a turnover guy and you start yelling about the turnovers, they stop trying to thread the needle. They stop trying to push the pace and stop trying to be aggressive. And so that was good to hear from Taylor that he wants them to go do that. And he can live with those things, but there's also a fine line of going and being aggressive and finding that pace, finding that space and trying to thread the needle to also know when to pull that back and run a different set and try again. And so that's what they're going to have to, that's probably what they will struggle with the most this year as a group, as a whole, just in that half court offense, is knowing when to do those things, knowing when to make the outlet pass, knowing when to pull back. You know, Brandon Clark actually did something that it was a little thing in the game. Ja Morant could have had a long outlet pass to Brandon Clark, but there's a couple guys around him. Brandon Clark just like told him no, like just wait. And so that's a heads up play by a rookie, you know, really high IQ play by Brandon Clark just to know like, hey, this isn't it. Let's get it next time. Just bring the ball up the court. So that was something that I thought was really interesting from Brandon Clark himself. So that will be times. And Taylor Jenkins said they'll just have to watch a lot of film and point those things out. This is the spot to go. This is the spot to hold back. Those are the type of things that you're going to have to do as a young Grizzlies team, is knowing when those spots, where those spots are and when to take them. Brandon Clark obviously had that high IQ play. Ja Morant, I think he is further along than I thought he would be. I mean, there will be times when he has turnover games, but he's further along in that area than I honestly thought he would be. But as a group, as a whole, the Grizzlies just, they really struggled. I mean, they were down or up only like 10 to a really bad basketball team at some points. They really just stopped playing in the third quarter, got really, really loose with the ball, turned the ball over a lot in the third quarter. And to Taylor's credit, he kept the starters out there most of the game. I think it was like a minute and 40 seconds left in the fourth quarter when he finally put John Conchar in. So like most of the starters played most of the game. And so that's fine. I don't think that's anything wrong with that. I just thought it was interesting that they had a run that long in the game against the Breakers, just because I thought they would blow it out. And they looked like they were going to in the first half, but again, they got really sloppy and they have a lot of turnovers and they were confused. And so that's going to happen though. That comes with time. Those things will get better. Hopefully will get better as you get through it for sure. Coming up, we'll take a look at specifically what Ja Morant did because he was amazing last night. We'll talk about Kyle Anderson, Dylan Brooks, Grayson Allen, who was also really, really good, and some other players I thought were great, some players I thought were not great that needed to improve. A lot of different things coming up after the break. Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. That's promo code LOCKEDON at checkout for a $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more. Welcome back to the show, talking Grizzlies Breakers from last night. Ja Morant looked as good as I didn't think he could be. I mean, I know that we talked about this on Monday, and I know I said he was a star on Monday, but he's a superstar now. I mean, he's so damn good at passing. I mean, his passing ability is just so good. And I have said this for 2 months, that his court vision is something that will always translate to the NBA. That was something I was never worried about. And he showed it off these past two games. 17 assists in two games for a rookie in 38 minutes. I'd say that's pretty, pretty good. It's just so impressive. I mean, and it's so fun to watch. Quite frankly, he had 10 assists last night. It only took him two games to get his first double-digit assist game in the NBA. I think it was only like 1.5 games or 1.75 games because it happened in the third quarter. So a little over seven quarters for the young rookie to get a 10 assist game. That's all it took for him to do it. And to be quite honest, he should have had probably 14 assists. He should have at least 13, 14 by my count. That there was a lot of like really, really good passes that guys just missed. And that's going to be happen a lot this year, just with guys around you that aren't shooting the ball well, different competition. I mean, last night and Sunday's game is not something we can take away from competition at all because they're not very good basketball teams. But that passing ability is going to translate to the regular season no matter who you're playing. The way you see the court is something that you always see the court that way. That's something that doesn't go away. It's something that's so hard to teach. And the ability, the way he sees the court is just so impressive. And that alone just is really exciting for me. I know it's exciting for you guys. It's exciting to watch. Like if you go out there and you're not excited about seeing Ja Morant throw those type of passes, I don't know what to tell you. There's probably a different sport for you than basketball, but it's amazing. I can't talk about it enough because it's something that's going to continue all year long. And if his teammates are making the shots, when he's continuously finding them open, in the corner, especially for corner threes, the way he drives down a lane. I know we talked about on Monday, even a little bit with Amari Sankofa yesterday, about his ability, his driving ability, and then sometimes maybe not knowing where he's going. But the problem with that is his passing is so good. His court vision is so good. I'm not sure it matters. He did that a couple of times last night and literally just found guys that you would not think you would normally. The head is down, you're driving in a lane, and you get to a point and you're stuck. But Ja Morant, his head is up, he gets to the lane, and he just sees somebody in the corner and whips it around to the corner. There was a drive last night. He drove, kind of looked like the same thing. He didn't know where he was going, but he got stopped by a player. He literally whipped it around with his left hand around somebody all the way out to the corner on the right-hand side. I mean, that is amazing, and I can't wait to see that. Every single game is probably something we're going to talk about after every game. I'll probably say something about the way Ja Morant passes the ball because it's impressive. He only had 4 points last night. So the offense on that part, if he's not getting into the lane, the offense is going to have to come. That's something that I know that has been talked about is how good his offensive ability is going to be. Something that we talked about on the show, how good is his offensive ability as far as just shooting and getting to the lane. That's something that will be interesting to see how that develops as the year goes on. And something we talked about with Ja Morant and Tyus Jones together, that's something that will be that happened last night, and not for long, but it did happen. Ja Morant and Tyus Jones playing together. I didn't really notice anything that stood out, but those two guys, the offense is going to have to be there for one of them to play together. And so I know it's something that we've talked about over and over again, but the most impressive thing about his passing ability is the way he finds space in the tightest of spaces, the way he is able to make a pass in such tight spaces in the lane, around guys. Just that is probably the most impressive part about his passing ability is the way he's able to pass in certain spots in the tightest of spaces. He had 4 assists in the first 6 minutes. Probably should have been 6. He had six assists in the second quarter. Probably should have been 9. So it gives you an idea. Like if his teammates can make the shots, he will have a lot of assists this year and will be extremely impressive. Just a lot of missed opportunities from guys that he literally got them wide open looks and they just missed them. So that will probably be a point of frustration for myself, for other fans out there, you guys that are watching the game and understand that, hey, look, he is getting these guys wide open shots. And that will probably come as more players expect a pass at any time from Ja Morant. Be ready to shoot because he could hit you with a pass and you may not even see it coming, but you better be ready to shoot if you're open and you better make it. And so that will be something that will be interesting to watch as the time goes along, as the games come along. What will those guys do if they continue to finish looks? And also just comes with getting better players. Obviously, some of the players involved in the starting lineup and in the rotation aren't as, I'd say, good as players hopefully he'll play with long-term in the future. But you'd expect those guys to make open looks as they come along. Kyle Anderson also played last night. We'll stop talking about John Morant as we spent too many minutes on probably as it is, but that's okay. Actually, I'm going to spend as many minutes on John Morant's passing ability each show as I want, and you guys will have to just listen to it. But other than that, Kyle Anderson played last night. You know, he's his defense looked good. Kyle Anderson was not really involved in the offense, and I don't know if that was a shoulder thing. I don't know if that was an injury thing. It didn't look like it, but Kyle Anderson, he came in, I think, in the second quarter, played for about 6 minutes in that first stretch. He played a total of 16 minutes, 17 minutes last night. So he did get minutes, but he wasn't really involved in the offense, and that concerns me. But Kyle Anderson is a guy who I have said on the show and outlined it before, but Kyle Anderson is a guy that needs the ball in his hands. He literally said this in his opening press conferences, that he is most effective when the ball is in his hands. So how you have Kyle Anderson out there at the end, even at the end of the game where Grayson Allen is playing third string point guard, why not play Kyle Anderson? Kyle Anderson is most effective when he is a point guard. That is when he is most effective. He cannot shoot very well, but his passing and his court vision and his basketball IQ is on par with John Morant. He just doesn't ever get to show it off. And so the idea that we're still not in this next year, different coach, we're still not putting Kyle Anderson in with the ball in his hands, and we're still only sticking him in the corner. He's not involved in the offense, and he has to be able to start the offense for him to really be involved in the offense. And that was concerning. I mean, honestly, I know it's the first preseason game he was in, so give it time. Maybe that will change. But the preseason is a time to try things. And if you have Grayson Allen out there running third string point guard minutes, and if he's not going to get the ball as a point guard, then at the end of a game, when the game is over, and again, Grayson Allen is your third-string point guard. Don't have a third-string point guard. If Kyle Anderson isn't getting the ball then, I'm not sure he's going to get the ball. And that's a point of concern for me. It's a little bit frustrating because I think that most people can understand how to use Kyle Anderson effectively. I don't want to go through a season again where we have to point that out on this show all the time, that, you know, really if you could use him other than sticking him in the corner because he's not a three-point shooter, that'd be great. I really don't want to do that again this year. And so I'm going to wait and see before I really start to talk about it more and bring it up a little bit more. But it is a point that I noticed. It is a point of contention or concern that I noticed. And so it's something to watch for as you go through the rest of these preseason games. Watch how Kyle Anderson is moving on the offensive end. Watch how he is used. Just watch Kyle Anderson on offense and just see, is he bringing the ball up? Is he setting the first down screen? What does he do? Is he just sitting in the corner? Because a lot of times last night, he was just standing there. He was not doing anything. And so Kyle Anderson is not a three-point shooter. You cannot just leave him alone and hopefully he makes a shot at the end of the offense. That's not who he is. And so watch Kyle Anderson, how he moves, how he sets the first down. What is he doing on offense to really get a sense of how they're using Kyle Anderson? That's something I would encourage you to do as this preseason goes along. See what happens with Kyle Anderson and see what happens in the offense for him and how he's being used. It'll be interesting to see. You know, he wasn't great, and I don't know if that's – I would say he wasn't great, but I just don't know if he was used a lot. And so I don't know if it was an injury thing. I hope it's an injury thing, but we'll see as we go forward. Coming up, we'll talk more about Grayson Allen, Dylan Brooks, Tyus Jones, and some guys that didn't even make it into the game. Welcome back to the show, talking Grizzlies Breakers from last night. Again, talked a little bit of Kyle Anderson and John Morant. That was kind of my main takeaways from the game. But some other things that happened that I thought were interesting is Dylan Brooks did not look great. He not for the lack of shooting the ball, because he shot the ball 13 times, 2 for 13 for Dylan Brooks, 6 points. For good or bad, Dylan Brooks is going to shoot the ball. Dylan Brooks is going to try to shoot the ball and try to make plays. That's something we saw at the end of his rookie year. I don't know if you guys remember that, but it's something that he would just sometimes would shoot the ball ill-advised. And I think that will probably continue this year. It will probably be a little bit more glaring this year because he'll have the ball in his hands more. And he's kind of one of the young veterans, if you will, if you can call a third year player a veteran. But he was not great last night. Again, 2 for 13. Just not a good game for Dylan Brooks at all. Tyus Jones, again, not great. He had, I believe, 3 turnovers and 3 assists. No, he ended up with 5 assists. So there was one point in the game we had 3 turnovers and 3 assists. And so just, I think it was halfway through the game, just did not look good. But he continued to shoot through it, continued to work through it. You know, ended up with 5 assists. He ended up with 13 points. There was a stretch there in the third quarter where he had several looks at the ball. The one thing I'll notice about Tyus Jones is that he seemed to be more aggressive on offense than he was on Sunday. On Sunday, he really looked to get more people involved. Today, he looked to be more aggressive. He looked like he was looking for his shot more than he was on Sunday. Instead of passing off in a lane, he was taking the jumper. And so that was something that I thought was interesting. I don't know how well it worked out for him. He was 6 for 10 from the field, 13 points. He was -1 in the box score. If you read into anything in plus minus, I don't really. That's more about who's out there with you as well than just yourself. But didn't look great. I mean, that is a overall hole for the team is did not look great. Even Jaren Jackson Jr., he was okay. You know, he didn't really come on till late. He got a lot of his points late. The only thing he had like 9 points at halftime. So, but you know, he was decent. He was still ended up with 9 rebounds, 18 points, took several 3-pointers. Only made one, but took several, and that's a good sign to see is him continuing to shoot the ball. He was 5 for 10, so like he wasn't outstanding. He was just average last night. But again, being average against a team like that is not something you want to see from Jaren Jackson Jr. You want Jaren Jackson Jr. to be awesome, and he got dunked on by a guy named Thomas Abercrombie, which probably it's just insane. Like that dunk was crazy. The fact that his name is Thomas Abercrombie is crazy. Beyond that, the only other person that looked right besides Ja Morant is Grayson Allen. And something we talked about on Monday is Grayson Allen a sixth man? Grayson Allen, the 3-point shooter, is he that guy? I don't know, but I sure am finding myself rooting for Grayson Allen. He shot the balls 14 times. He was 6 for 14, had 2 back-to-back threes, struggled with his 3-point shot early in the game. He did not shoot the ball well. I think it was 0 for 4 and then hit 2 back-to-back threes to end up being 2 for 6 from 3. But had 2 huge dunks, 2 huge blocks. I mean, Grayson Allen, the athlete, showed out last night. I know Amari and I talked about this yesterday, and I don't know if you caught it, but we talked about this yesterday in the fact that Grayson Allen, an athlete, he was kind of an athlete at Duke, and we mentioned it kind of offhand, what we kind of wondered about that. But guess what? Grayson Allen is an athlete. I mean, it was he was impressive. Like I can find myself continually rooting for Grayson Allen to make a comeback. He is clearly the preferred wing off the bench. He's the first one up. He is clearly the preferred wing shooter to the Taylor Jenkins and his coaching staff right now. And he did a lot of things for himself last night. He clearly showed that staff that he is more capable of just shooting threes. Very athletic. Again, 2 huge blocks. I think he had 3 blocks total, but he had two blocks. Yeah. Let's see. Yes, he had 3 blocks total, but he had 2 huge ones where he got up real high and was able to meet the player at the top of his shot. I just was really impressive. One super filthy dunk over somebody, kind of post-route somebody. So, yeah, Grayson Allen looked good. I am excited and excited to watch Grayson Allen play. Did not think that was something that I would be here talking about after the second preseason game, but here we are. I'm excited to watch Grayson Allen play again the next preseason game to see what he's able to do more, see how he develops. I'm excited to see what they'll do with him. Obviously, we'll definitely pick up his option. I would assume so. I believe his option has to be picked up by the 31st of the month. So I think they'll probably pick up his option and see. So the only person that will happen or that played in the game is Marco Guterich. Not super involved in the offense. Wasn't a focal point. Didn't play as many minutes as Grayson Allen. He played 16 minutes, but you know, he wasn't asked to do much, but when he got the ball, he made his shots. He screened well. I mean, he played within the offense. He did not go out of his way to show people what he can do, but when he got the ball, he shot it well. He got the ball in certain spots. He made his shot. So like great. Marco was fine, but like not a huge impact just because he was kind of non-existent. You could have like, you could missed him out. You could have missed him out there if I didn't mention him. You probably would have been like, oh, I didn't even really know he did much. And so that's something that Mark will have to work on. If he wants to show this staff that he can play and play well, he'll have to work on that. Ivan Rabb and Miles Plumlee did not even get in the game. So that was interesting. So again, those are probably your leading candidates to waive, to get waived is Ivan Rabb and Miles Plumlee. Again, Ivan Rabb has a guaranteed date on his contract. So that also is probably working against him as well. Miles Plumlee, as we mentioned, has a $12.5 million contract on the show. He is someone that I assume they'll probably try to look for a trade. $12 million is a lot to eat. But remember, they traded, obviously, he came back in the Chandler Parsons trade. So if you did need to waive him, it's something that you could do. It's only this year. It's an expiring deal. So, yes, you would waive him. He wouldn't come back, but that money would come off the books at the end of the year. You know, no real harm, real foul there. But I'd imagine they're looking for trades. I'd imagine they're looking to do something with Miles Plumlee. Maybe a team needs to get off a different contract and they want expiring. I don't know if there's a lot of those deals out there. But I'm sure they're exploring those options. I'm sure they're not just going to waive him before they explore all the options. So if they do end up waiving someone like Miles Plumlee in a $12.5 million contract, I'd be safe to say they have ruled out all their options, trading Miles Plumlee to someone else and getting something in return for him. So that's it for today. So you guys make sure you tune in tomorrow. We will be talking more about the Grizzlies as well as we do every single day on this show. Make sure you go subscribe to the show in whatever platform you choose, whether that's Spotify, Stitcher, or Apple iTunes. If you subscribe in Apple iTunes, make sure you go and leave a review on the show. It really helps the show in the iTunes rankings. Go leave a 5-star rating and go leave a 5-star review. Tell us what you think. Really helps the show. I appreciate it. We will see you guys tomorrow. We'll